Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our in-studio guests in just a few moments. But as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, then verses 10 through 20. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4, then 10 through 20. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole arm of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Again, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and then verses 10 through 20. Lord, thank you for the fact that you are Heavenly Father that who's called us out of the world and into a new relationship with you as well as one another as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, for how that you equip us and prepare us and empower us to be the soldiers in your army that you want us to be. Lord, guide us and help us to grow in our understanding of how to do spiritual warfare effectively every day. Help us to recognize that, like it or not, we have to deal with it. And empower us by your Spirit to be servants that are making, not just making a difference, but are making headway in building your kingdom and tearing down the kingdom of darkness every single day. Guide us so that daily we'll become more and more fruitful vessels in your hands. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We're grateful to have in studio with us today Abraham Hamilton III, who is the public policy analyst with us here at the American Family Association. Abe, thanks for joining us today.
No problem. Thank you for having me, Pastor Joseph.
Good to have you. Always when you're able to come in on the broadcast. And Abe, you just had an interesting experience. You had made an important trip for the ministry. And I'm going to ask if you'll take time to share with our listeners both about the goals behind the trip and what the Lord did through that trip.
Sure. And I'll start off by explaining what it is. So for those of you who may not be familiar, on April 19th of this year, the Target Corporation announced that it would be embracing a policy concerning its restrooms that would allow people, this is the way they phrase it, to use the restrooms that are consistent with their actual or perceived gender identity. Translation, it would allow biological men to use women's dressing rooms and restroom facilities inside of all of their stores. As a result, the American Family Association launched a boycott effort of Target, culminating primarily on our website, afa.net, where currently there are over 1.3 million people who've signed the petition.
And we're still encouraging people to please sign it because your participation can help make a big, big difference there.
Absolutely. Following the launch of our boycott, Target stock has dropped almost 20% since that time. And we were afforded an opportunity to go to Target's annual shareholders meeting to voice our concern directly to the Target CEO and the board of directors, as well as to those shareholders of the Target Corporation. Mm-hmm. Because we hoped that hearing the concerns of the American people would cause them to consider adjusting their policy. Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, our concern at the American Family Association is that Target's policy is dangerous because it would allow individuals to use the cover or cloak of Target's policy to get access to primarily little girls and women to abuse them physically, sexually, and in other ways, voyeurism and so on and so forth. Because the reality is, and I have a criminal background, criminal law background, not a criminal background, but a criminal law background as a prosecutor. When the facts are that there are more registered sex offenders in the United States than there are transgender individuals.
Mm.
So the risk is higher than whatever good Target may have hoped to accomplish, assuming that they truly hoped to accomplish good.
And, you know, Abe, the reality is this is a serious problem all by itself.
Yes.
Sexual predators in our culture. This basically opens the door, makes it easier for them to do what they do.
Yes. So we consider it as an issue of safety, but two, as a gospel issue. And I'll try to say this succinctly. There's no doubt about it. There is an assault on the reality that there is a distinction between men and women in our culture. The Lord said in Genesis 1 and 2 that he created them both male and female, and that true, authentic demonstrations of masculinity and femininity contain the earthly conveyance of the imago Dei, the image of God. So a policy such as this is a direct attack on the authority of Scripture, as it underscores the fact that he created them both male and female, and maleness and femaleness convey the image of God. Well, when you have people who are now questioning the authority of Scripture as it pertains to manhood and womanhood, and as it's related in Genesis 1 and 2, it's a short step to go to question the authority of Scripture in Genesis 3.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Genesis 3 is where we get the reality that death is a product of sin entering the earth, and that we get the gospel that there is only one remedy for sin and death, which is Jesus Christ. So if Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and Genesis 3 can now be called into question, that is a direct attack on the authority of Scripture, which is a direct attack on the gospel. So it is a safety issue, naturally speaking, and it is a safety issue, eternally speaking. So for those reasons, the American Family Association went to California to make our concerns heard by the Target Corp.
And what were the results?
There came a point in the shareholders meeting where I had the opportunity to question Target's chairman of the board and CEO directly. And contrary to what I believe they expected, and based on his responses to me and their appearance on their faces, when I said what I said, I could tell they weren't expecting it, because I really wanted not to rely on human wisdom.
Right.
You know, I spent time praying before, and the scriptures in Matthew the Lord brought to me concerning when you're brought before leaders and governors and so on and so forth, take no thought about what you are to say, because the Lord will give you the words, because the Lord will be speaking through you by his Spirit. And so based on that scripture, I felt like the Lord gave me a strategic question to ask. And I asked in the midst of the shareholders, I asked the chairman of the board, Mr. Cornell, had Target conducted a cost-benefit analysis before pursuing this misguided bathroom policy? There are over 1.3 million people in America who have expressed their intention to boycott Target over it. There are many more who may not have signed a petition who feel the same way. And the reality is those signatures represent not just individuals, but families. So when you see that in the business world, they recognize that this concerns their brand image.
And that's normal procedure in business. You would really check it out beforehand.
Focus groups and all types of research. Well, when I posed my question to the chairman of the board, his face, he was a little bit mystified by my question. And he engaged in this long diatribe of political speech where he didn't answer my question. And so when he concluded, I followed up. I said, so just to be clear, Mr. Chairman, you're telling me you all pursued this policy based on feelings and beliefs, not on a cost-benefit analysis? And when I gave my follow-up response, the chairman of the board deferred to his chief financial officer and said, would you please, Ms. Smith, Catherine Smith, tell Mr. Hamilton what we did financially with our financial preparations concerning this policy? Then she goes on to not answer my question either. And at the conclusion of my exchange with the board of directors and Mr. Cornell, there was another shareholder in the audience who came up to me and said, Mr. Hamilton, I just want to let you know, I heard the question that you asked, and I also heard that they didn't answer your question. And I recognize that they are not doing the necessary due diligence before playing with my money.
Just typical business procedure.
What would be normal, you would think. But the reality is that Target is completely committed to their agenda to support the radical social reengineering of our country. So then the question becomes, what, if anything, are we going to do about it?
That's right. That's right. You know, Abe, something that comes to my mind is just the fact is, no matter how you look at it, there's not a right way to do wrong. And wickedness is just wickedness.
Absolutely.
And it's important for us as believers to really recognize it, because, again, sound business policy would just say this is wrong any way you look at it. But they're not pursuing sound business policy. They're pursuing a wicked agenda.
That's right. And, you know, it's easy to for some to kind of become despondent or think, oh, my gosh, there's nothing we can do to stop them. But something the Lord encouraged my heart with comes from 2 Kings chapter 6. And it falls right into the fact that this is, you know, the hour of intercession. When the Syrian army sought to assault Israel, they weren't able to do so because the Lord kept revealing the enemy's plans to Elisha. And Elisha would tell the king of Israel, and they would always thwart the Syrian plans. So much so where the Syrian king would say, well, who's the traitor among us? And the soldiers would respond, there's no traitor among us. There's a prophet in Israel. So then, instead of humbling himself and recognizing that God was not on his side, the king of Syria said, well, we got to take out that prophet. Where does he live? He lives in Dothan. Let's go get him. Well, he dispatches his military regiment to Elisha's house. And the Bible records that Elisha is not even up yet, but the servant was awake. And the servant recognized that there was a huge enemy force that had surrounded Elisha's house. And it began to panic, began to become frantic. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Elisha sought to comfort this boy with words are true, which are true words. This servant boy, by saying, they are more for us than they are against us. But those words didn't provide the comfort to the young man, clearly, because Elisha didn't stop there, but he pressed forward. And Elisha did the next thing, which I think we must do. Elisha appealed to the Lord and said, Lord, open this boy's eyes so that he can see that there are more for us than there are against us. And the Bible says that the boy's eyes were opened, and he took comfort not in Elisha's words, not in his military expertise or prowess, not in the size of his guns or his ability to wield a sword. He recognized, because he saw a heavenly host.
That's right.
That superseded the natural forces that were arrayed against him. When it appeared, naturally speaking, he had no recourse, no answer. They were done. The Lord opened his eyes to see that they are more for us than they are against us. And I know beyond a shadow of doubt with every fiber of my being that the same holds true today. But we just need our eyes opened.
That's right. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to really trust you and look to you as our Heavenly Father, to really do just that. Lord, more and more, we ask that you'd move in the body of Christ today and open the eyes of your people to recognize how big you are, that you're a God that's so big. Nothing causes you to worry, to be concerned, but your people are to look to you and trust you and lean upon you for wisdom, for grace, and for strength. Lord, more and more, open our eyes to look at you and the hosts that are part of your army, the army of heaven. And Lord, help us to know, Lord, that we can always trust you, always rely upon you, always look to you, even in the worst of times, because greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And if God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Lord, help us to be a people that always trust you and rely upon you and never panic, knowing because you're always on your throne. Thank you for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough, that and so much more. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our studio guest is Abraham Hamilton III. We'll be right back after this break.
Did you know that the Arlington National Cemetery was originally built during the Civil War? That's right, it was the home of Robert E. Lee, actually, who was the general of the Confederacy. Little known fact about the Arlington National Cemetery, which today is an iconic tribute to our fallen heroes. Hello everyone, I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll visit the Arlington National Cemetery in September on our Spiritual Heritage Tour, as well as going to many other sites in our nation's capital. We'll also go to the home of George Washington, Mount Vernon. In addition, Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown will be a place we visit just prior to our nation's capital. So if you'd like to go on either of these tours in September, or both, we welcome you to find out all the information at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Christians often get a bad reputation for thinking we're better than other people. We're often accused of pretending to be holier than thou. But when you really consider what we're actually saying when we say we're Christians, the opposite should be true. When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean I'm openly admitting that I'm a sinner incapable of pleasing God? When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean there was one perfect person who lived a life I never could and paid a debt I truly owed? When I say that I'm a Christian, I'm far from better than anyone else. In fact, when I say that I'm a Christian, I'm saying I deserve death and eternal separation from God because of my sin. It should humble each and every one of us when we say we're Christians. The truth of the matter is, Christianity doesn't make you perfect. It publicly acknowledges you're not. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Miki Addison. Go deeper at urbanfamilytalk.com. Yeah, cause I'm a businessman.
I said I handle my business, man. I believe one of the greatest needs for this generation is for men to be men.
Pastor, author, musician, Carl King.
Men have lost their initiative, and they're spending time in games and pornography, and the culture is vomiting this out, and many men are just sucking it up. But I think that the Word of God, and I think that our culture is asking for men to step up and say, okay, I'm going to use that manliness that God has given me. I'm going to be a provider. I'm going to be a help. I'm going to be a protector. I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to use and exploit women. By me being self-controlled and self-disciplined, I'm going to change the world.
Advancing truth, wisdom, and empowerment. UrbanFamilyTalk.com. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him. Longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. And longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all,
he wants. The music of Forever Jones, the song He Wants It All. Thanks for listening to The Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our in-studio guest today is Abraham Hamilton III, who is the public policy analyst for the American Family Association. And Abe, as we start off at this time, if you will just pray whatever the Lord has put on your heart to lift up as it relates to what we're addressing today.
Yes, Father, so we come to you, Lord, with sobriety, Lord, understanding Thank the times you. That we're in, Lord, but nevertheless in full confidence in you. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, for the body of Christ at large, for our country and for those that are listening to this radio broadcast, Father, that you would grant us, Lord, by your grace,
an
uncommon confidence in your sovereignty and in your power, Lord, because you are not shaken by the things that we have faced, Lord. You are not surprised nor caught off guard by them, Lord.
Thank you.
And Father, I ask that you would give us a similar confidence, Lord God, so that we can maintain our calm and our sense of awareness, Lord, so that we know how to properly respond to this day. Lord, I ask that you would stir our hearts so that we can arrive at the moment, Lord, that we would not be so daunted that we be frightened into paralysis, Lord, but that we, just as Hebrews says, ever the more as we see the evil day approaching, that we would exhort one another, Father, that you would use this program to exhort us, Lord God, so that we can be sober-minded yet nevertheless vigilant, Lord God, in our discharge of our obligations of being salt and light, Lord, and being your ambassadors in the earth, Father. I thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty and matchless name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Again, Abe, we appreciate you joining us today. I know you got to scoot out in just a few moments here.
Yeah.
What would you say, what instructions or encouragement would you give to our listeners about things they can do?
Yes.
If you'll share with them, of course, obviously signing the boycott and explain how they can do that, but also other things you'd encourage them as believers to do in our culture as we address issues like this.
Absolutely. So at first, I'd like to say that I believe right now we're in a moment that's similar, not equivalent, but similar to the culmination of what occurred in Acts chapters 6, 7, and 8, when you have the apostles who walked with Jesus, you know, saw all of these miracles, participated in these miracles, saw him after his resurrection, saw his crucifixion, you know, spent those 40 days that Acts talks about, received Lord on the day of Pentecost, all of these things that happened. And the Lord instructed them specifically to go into all the world, preaching the gospel, teaching, making disciples of all nations. Nevertheless, you find that it was not until the stoning of Stephen and the attendant persecution that followed the stoning of Stephen that the apostles actually left Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that wasn't a short amount of time. And even the scripture records two things that I find that are significant. One, that the first named disciple that left Jerusalem on a ministerial excursion was Philip, mm-hmm. who was regarded in Acts 6 as just, as what some may consider, a menial old deacon. Mm-hmm. No such thing in the body of Christ as menial. But nevertheless, it was a deacon, not mm-hmm. one of the apostles, you know. Mm-hmm. And then following that, in Acts chapter 11, you find unnamed disciples, men from Cyrene and Cyprus, who are the first to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. You know, at this time, Paul is running amok, being a New Testament version of the Taliban concerning the Christians. Mm-hmm. And it is these unnamed disciples who are the first to respond to Jesus' instructions, mm-hmm. which should let us realize something, that sometimes it's easy to complain about what the churches aren't doing, what the pastors aren't doing, what the leadership isn't doing. But the reality is that mm-hmm. the church is not consist exclusively of leaders. That's in right. terms of pastors or whatever you want to call them, but that the function of the church is really to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is that God has given us an opportunity to respond. And what I mean about this time being similar to that time in Acts 6, 7, and 8 is that it was persecution that thrust the apostles and the church out to the world. It wasn't right. this immediate, heartfelt, super Christian obedience. It was persecution. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the enemy has been backing the church up with so many issues, time after time after time, prayer out of schools, you know, evolution being the gospel of the educational system, just to be mm-hmm. frank, and all these other things pushing us to our backs up against the wall, which at this point, we don't really have much further to back up, mm-hmm. you know, where the Lord mm-hmm. could, where now the guns literally are trained on our children. You have the government telling you that our schools must teach sexual deviancy. You have mm-hmm. the corporations telling you, we don't care what you think, we're going to foist this deviancy agenda on you as mm-hmm. a customer at the risk of the safety of your children. Mm-hmm. Where else can we back up? And I think in all of this, this could be a moment that God is allowing to cause the church to wake up. That's to right. wake up. It's very easy. It's very, I'm saying it like this. Most people cry out to the Lord when they're in hot water, they're facing danger. Everybody, you know, everybody gets saved when they're on their way to prison. You know, everybody mm-hmm. gets saved. You know, it's crying out to the Lord when the lights are getting cut off and all of these things. But uh-huh. Deuteronomy 8 warns us, be careful when you've eaten and your stomachs are full. Mm-hmm. You know, when you've gone from, you know, wandering in the wilderness to where you have houses that are established, be careful then. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we've kind of been lulled into a false sense of security in America, which has caused our church, yeah, to become fat and a little bit lazy. Mm-hmm. To where this shaking of our nest, so to speak, what, they're coming for my kids, mm-hmm. could arouse us to attention, to where we do what Elijah did, mm-hmm. what Elisha did. You know, the Bible talks about Elisha put his head between his knees mm-hmm. and cried out for, you know, for the drought first and for the rain to come thereafter. And Elisha cried out, Lord, open this boy's eyes so he can see. Mm-hmm. And I've said on this radio network before, when we are fully persuaded, and that persuasion is a result of intimate revelation. I always say knowledge is a product of study. Revelation is a product of intimacy. Mm-hmm. When we're fully persuaded as a product of intimacy, our perception changes so much so that when we face Goliaths, we never acknowledge them as giants. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. simply are uncircumcised obstacles on the road to kingdom manifestation.
Amen.
And we would have that same opportunity. So I'd say, yes, sign the boycott. Go to afa.net, sign the petition. Those who don't use the internet, print off the handheld petitions. Mm-hmm. And if you have not signed it yet, sign it. And if you have, find 5 to 10 people who have not signed it. mm-hmm. so that we can declare, no, we're not backing up anymore. Mm-hmm. We're not backing up anymore. And then on top of that, this is the day to get on our faces before our Lord.
That's right.
We must cry out because we cannot sustain ourselves, nor our children, nor our families in our own strength. We cannot mm-hmm. do it. It is deceptive and fruitless to believe that you are holy enough on your own mm-hmm. without the real time, tangible revelation from God and empowering by his spirit to stand. And I would encourage that this would be the day and not to waste time crying out about who somebody else is not doing. Mm-hmm. Whatever somebody else is not doing, whatever, they're not doing it. But what are we doing?
That's
how
right.
are we responding? Is the Lord are we being poured out like drink offerings? Mm-hmm. Are we a living, breathing witness to the glory of the King? Are we a witness of his holiness and of his standards? Mm. Because I'll say, if we stand on the Lord's side, though we may be surrounded by a Syrian army mm-hmm. who has military weaponry that would boggle the greatest military minds, mm-hmm. they are more for us than they are against us.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I think of this, too, the example you mentioned, like of Philip. One a powerful truth about Philip was full of the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit in detail,
yeah.
in intimate ways. Just go join yourself to that chair. He's listening to God.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, God wants us all to be intimate like that, to where yeah. we'll listen to the details of his direction, mm-hmm. because he'll use us mightily as we move in that power of the Holy Spirit that way. And God has work all over the place to be done. So much work to be done.
There's so much work to be done. But we need the hands and feet of Jesus to put our hands to the plow. And I love the example of Philip, and I often refer to it as lots of people have step-up faith to go to the bigger, better, greater, so it would appear. But Philip demonstrated what I call step-down faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time when Philip was called to go south on a road towards Gaza, mm-hmm. he was in the middle of what we may be call an outpouring of the Lord's Spirit, where mm-hmm. large crowds were being ministered to, people were being healed, and in the midst of all of this,
mm-hmm.
Philip was so in tune with the Lord, he was sensitive, intimate, mm-hmm. humble, and obedient enough to say, I'll leave this crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave this mega church.
That's right.
To go south on a road towards Gaza
mm-hmm.
that resulted in him having an encounter with one person.
That's right. That's right.
That's a distinguishing characteristic of somebody who's fully persuaded and fully invested in the Lord's agenda mm-hmm. and not a personal one.
That's right.
To where they're willing mm-hmm. to, Lord, leave the crowd, no problem. Let's mm-hmm. go south.
That's right.
On a road towards Gaza. And on the route to where he didn't even really know all the details where he was going,
mm-hmm.
he encounters a moment in destiny that results in the gospel invading the continent of Africa. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. That's why I'm not afraid in this day, because the Lord can say by many or by few.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's to know? You could be a modern day Philip.
Mm-hmm.
That you could be mm-hmm. one of the ones to turn the tide of the day if we're willing to be used and are open like a Philip.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, Abe, you just touched on something that's so powerful to recognize, is that God knows what to do.
Mm.
We just do what the Holy Spirit tells us, and we'll be accomplishing something with eternal consequences. So the key is not me trying to figure out a good plan. The key is for us to listen to what God says to do and just do that, you know. So, Abe, I know you got to go. Would you say one more word of prayer
for us and for the listeners? It was a pleasure being with you. I hate to have to run so soon, but I've got a lot going on right now, as you can imagine.
Right.
But Father, thank you, Lord, for your word.
Thank you.
Thank you for the great comfort and confidence we draw from your word.
And Lord,
we even thank you for the lives of those forerunners in the faith who've gone before us, like Philip and Stephen
thank
and
you,
the apostles. And Lord, the so-called upfront vessels, Lord, and even the discreet vessels, Lord. And thank you for calling us to be a part of your body, where we all have a supply to offer. Every joint has a supply to offer.
And God,
we ask you, Lord, to invade our hearts, Lord. Invade our agendas, Lord.
Thank you. Lord.
Invade our priorities, Lord. And help us reprioritize, Lord, to where we are willing to follow you, Lord. Not
Thank
to be children, but to be as little children, trusting
yes,
our Father. In
Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask once again, Lord, that you would so ready us, Father.
Thank you.
Where we would not be so consumed by the size of the obstacles, Lord. But that we will be so moved by the reality of our God, that the obstacles, which may literally be a mountain, may seem like nothing but a molehill to us because of our vantage point.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Abe. Father, I do thank you and I praise you for the opportunity you give us every day to really come to you in prayer, knowing this, that, Lord, you know everything. You're El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. You're Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You're Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Lord, you are everything to us, Lord. Help us to remember how big you are. Help us to live in such a way where we avoid forgetting how big you really are. And Lord, more and more, help us to put to work the tools you place in our hands, your word and your spirit and the privilege of worshiping and serving you and seeking you, those things that help us remember and keep before us your bigness and your greatness and your wonder as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe. Lord, you created all the stars and all the universe, and the things that we think of as big problems are tiny to you, Lord. Help us to remember how big you really, really are, Lord. And stir us as your church. Mobilize the church to be an army, a prayer force, lifting up the concerns of your kingdom in prayer. And also help us to know, Lord, that you can use any and every one of us, from the youngest child that loves you to the oldest adult, whether we're degreed or not degreed, whatever we might be, that you can use us as we pray, as we stand up, as we speak out for Jesus Christ, as we stand as witnesses in the places where you've placed us to speak out for your truth and your word. And Lord, help us also to go forward and to carry that truth to the places you would call us to, and beyond our own communities, beyond our state, our nation, in other parts of the world as well. But help us to know, Lord, that, Lord, we've read the back of the book, and we know you win in the end. And you're always the King who really has won already. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks so much, Abe, for being with us today.
Thank you, Pastor Joseph. God bless you.
And again, I want to say to all of our listeners, again, remember, God can use any and every one of us if we make ourselves available. And that's one more reason why I would encourage you to pray, for example, praying a prayer like for example, the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It's a prayer that basically places you afresh in the hands of God for God to use you. Again, God has so much work to be done all over the place. And if we simply place ourselves in the hands of the Holy Spirit, God will guide us and direct us and send us where he wants to send us. He'll use us in the ways he wants to use us. But the key is stay in close fellowship with God. And keep this in mind. Prayer really is the secret weapon in the kingdom of God that God doesn't want to be a secret. Remember, there's no such thing as praying too much, but the more prayerful you are, the more the Holy Spirit is released to work in your life and through your life. And you know, instead of just having a little taste of the Holy Spirit working in your life, you want your life to be permeated with the work of the Holy Spirit. And when you live a life given to prayer, the Holy Spirit will do a whole lot more in you and through you. And the Holy Spirit knows how to guide you into the places and to the circumstances where God will really, really use you wonderfully. Don't you want to be used by the Lord more? Well, let's pray towards that end more and more. Father, again, thank you for your word, and thank you for the opportunity for us to obey your word. You gave us the great commission. You told us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, Lord. Guide us, Father, today to do our part to move forward to carrying out that important work. Lord, use us, Father, to be bright, shining witnesses wherever we go today. Use us in such a way that we will be a blessing to every person we come in contact with today, Lord. Now, Lord, we don't know how to do that in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do that and even more by the power and grace of your Holy Spirit. Help us to live so that daily we're just simply vessels that are available, that we're individuals, believers that will say, yes, Lord, when you tell us to do something. When you say, call this person, that we will call. When you say, pray for that person, we pray. When you say, give this person this amount of money, or give this person this item of clothing, give this person this piece of furniture out of my home. Lord, help us to be a people that are quick to say, sure, Lord, whatever you desire. Help us to live so that every day our goal is to always have a yes, Lord attitude, no matter what it might be, because we love you, Lord, because we desire to be used by you, because we want to be involved in the great work of the building of your kingdom. We thank you and praise you for the opportunity to be used in such a way as that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be right back.
Your girl, Victory McIntosh. Catch me Monday through Fridays from 6 to 8 p.m. Central for the Jesus Jams, where I'm all about putting a good beat to some good gospel music. I'm here to inform you of today's hottest topics, along with many of my favorite jams. The Jesus Jams is a place for truth, wisdom, and empowerment with good music. Catch me Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for
Tune
all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
One of the most common questions about spiritual warfare is why God allows it. Dr. Tony Evans says it's not for lack of power, but to make a point. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Satan, according to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, has been rendered powerless, it says, by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has no more claim on you, and that's why he must function by deception. So he must deceive you into thinking he is something that he is not. And for too many of us, we've been believing him for too long. We walk around saying, well, my mama was like this. It's in the genes. You know, I was raised by a daddy who abused me and all that, and I'm not decrying that. That's a horrible thing, and it does affect you. But for that thing to own you, once you become a Christian, means you're believing a lie. And the main thing counseling has to do is to stop you from believing and recording that lie over and over and over again. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I've been nowhere. I'm going nowhere. Liar! When you met Jesus Christ, you were set free. And if you leave here, you should leave with a new record playing on the recorder of your mind. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Thank you. That's why the Bible always says, when you come to God with a problem, come with thanksgiving. Because if you're thankful more than you're complaining, you'll walk in the power of your strength and not the failure of your loss.
Learn more about that balance between justice and grace in Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. It'll teach you how to live in the spiritual victory Christ died to give you, even if you're dealing with chemical, sexual, emotional, or relational strongholds. Get a copy for yourself and order some extras for your church. Details on Victory in Spiritual Warfare are waiting for you online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
This is the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Again, the music of Forever Jones, the song Every Moment. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Really greatly appreciated the words of wisdom and insight that Brother Abe Hamilton was sharing. And I really do want to encourage every one of you, if you haven't signed the boycott already, we encourage you to please go to the website, afa.net, and sign the boycott, because we want to encourage you to get involved with being salt and light in the world. We want to encourage you, wherever you might be, ask God to use you more and more to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, every believer has a part to play. Every one of us has a role, an important role in the kingdom of God, of being salt and light in a world that desperately needs those elements for the light of God to shine into this world more and more. Keep in mind, again, in the book of Matthew chapter 28, it tells us the Great Commission. And keep in mind, it's simple, but it's profound, and it's important for every believer to know that every one of us is called to be involved. Again, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 tell us, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Verses 19 and 20, Matthew chapter 28. Let me share with you, just in the way of encouragements, just some simple things that we can do to be obedient to that very important commission that God commands his whole church to be carrying out. I would encourage you to pray on a daily basis that God would use you. In fact, ask God to give you a number and just ask him to use you to help whatever number that comes to your heart, to help them to get saved, to help to plant seeds in their lives. For example, you may say, "Lord, help me to share the gospel with 20 people today, with 30 people today." And keep in mind, remember, you can't give God a number too big. For example, if you ask God, "Lord, I want to touch 1,000 people today by sharing, being a witness to them," do you know God can use you to do that? Now, you may not know how he'll do it, but he can. He might use your Facebook page. He may use your Twitter. He may use any of a number of other items, social media tools that you may have at your disposal. But remember, the goal is ask. The Bible says, "Ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open." In so many instances, the only reason we don't have what we ask for is because the only reason we don't have things that are on our hearts is because we have not asked. So ask God to use you to save so many people, or to plant seeds in people's lives on a given day. So if you decide to say, "Lord, use me to help 50 people get saved, 100 people, 1,000 people," you can't give God a number too big. So praying that God would use you to be an effective witness. Also, purchase and keep on your possession gospel tracts every single day. Keep them in your pocket or in your coat or in your purse or whatever you're carrying. But always have them handy to be able to give out in places where you have the opportunity to share them. Sometimes it might be in the grocery store, in a Walmart. It might be a drive-through window. It might be at a function you go to, but it might be at your school. But there are lots of opportunities to share a gospel tract that may very well be the seed that God uses to help that person to come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of their lives. So if you don't have any gospel tracts, buy some, get some, get them from somewhere and keep them on your person. That's another great way to be an effective and a fruitful witness in the hands of the Lord. And ask God to give you ideas and ways to be a more effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of on yesterday, Brother Ron Ball was with us, and he was sharing about how that God has opened doors for him to go into corporate America to go and to provide counsel and insight. But at the same time, he always asks for the opportunity to share the gospel. What a great and wise thing to do. I would encourage you, whatever your endeavors that you're pursuing, ask God to give you opportunities like that wherever you might go. And remember, nothing's too hard for God. Not only is God able to do it, but he'll commend you and bless you because you're wanting to be a kingdom-minded vessel for him to use. So part of our witnessing then would involve, again, praying that God would use us more. Secondly, also carry gospel tracts with you as well. And also be pursuing opportunities to be able to be involved in the spread of the gospel. You know, this time of year, lots of churches have vacation Bible schools. Well, get involved with a vacation Bible school. Volunteer, or if your church isn't having one, maybe you can help to have one or help to sponsor one at your church. Because remember, lots of children all over the world get saved every year through the ministry of vacation Bible schools. Many, many children. Many other kids are strengthened and built up and discipled tremendously through the work of Vacation Bible Schools. Get plugged into one of those functions. Even if you don't think you're especially gifted to work with children, maybe you can do something in the background, or maybe you can, by the grace of God, get better at working with children. But remember, it's a way to be a witness in the world, helping to carry out the Great Commission. Not only should we be spreading the gospel and also helping people to grow up in the faith, but through means like that, but also another opportunity we can use your telephone every day to do ministry. Call people up and sometimes ask, hey, how can I pray for you today? You know, most people, in fact, many times 8 or 9 out of 10 people will appreciate when someone asks them about how they can pray for them who's sincere. Now, of course, you don't want to ask them that and don't pray, but if you ask them again, be prepared to either pray for them on the spot or write it down so that you won't forget. But ask people how you can pray for them, because lots of people, saved and unsaved, would very much be touched and blessed by someone who would take the time to pray for them or some of the concerns or the matters they're going through. So be a believer that is quick to pray for other individuals on a regular basis. Also, on a consistent basis, challenge people to start reading God's Word every single day. If you listen often on this broadcast, I often encourage listeners to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every single day. Well, for some that have never heard that, they may think that's quite a bit. Actually, it's really not. It's really just a basic spiritual meal, and you can read your average 3 chapters in about 15 minutes or so. It doesn't take that long. But remember this, you and I both very much need the Word of God. And as you challenge and encourage others to start that habit of reading, like, say, for example, 3 chapters a day, you will bless people all over the place. One of the reasons being is for many people, that challenge is a seed planted in their heart. And very often, the Holy Spirit will grab that challenge and help them to run with it. And many people, when they've been challenged in that way, they start reading their Bible that day and they don't stop. And many times, if you'll regularly challenge people to read in that way, you'll find from time to time, people from here and there coming back to tell you, thank you for challenging or encouraging me to start reading my Bible every day. I started that day you encouraged me to, and I haven't stopped yet. Thank you so much. One of the reasons 3 chapters a day is a good challenge is because it's something you can wrap your mind around. You know, if you say to someone, why don't you read your Bible? Well, that's a general statement. And again, it's not quite so easy to wrap your mind around it. But on the other hand, you'll know on any given day whether or not you did read 3 chapters or whether you didn't. So it's an easy goal to wrap your mind around, and it's a good spiritual, again, meal for your daily life. So again, I want to challenge and encourage every single listener, make it a goal on a daily basis to challenge people and encourage them to start reading 3 chapters a day. And as I said, if you'll start doing that, there will be many people that will, again, their life will be different because you challenge them to do that, and they take that ball and run with it. So use your telephone to call people up, to ask them how you can pray for them, encourage them to read the Word. And sometimes, for example, especially maybe persons that are elderly or who may not be able to see that well or be able to read that well, read the Word of God over the phone to them. Read it out loud. Read a chapter or two for them, or ask them what their favorite passage might be. In addition to praying for them, you can greatly bless people that way as well. Remember, God's Word is pure light. We live in a world where lots and lots of people consume darkness on a regular basis. Lots of our children watch programs that are full of darkness, and they watch movies that are full of darkness. They play video games that are full of darkness. And again, that's one of the tragic reasons why we see suicide on the rise. There's so many people that are filling their minds and their hearts with so much darkness. And remember, darkness always leads to destruction and trouble. It always, always does, when it becomes full grown. But on the other hand, God's Word is pure light. And so as we both read the Word of God ourselves daily and we challenge and encourage others to do that, it will bless us, but we will be a blessing wherever we go, because for many people, they have 2 and 3 or 4 or more Bibles in their home, but tragically, so many times, those same Bibles are laying on a table or on a shelf collecting dust. Remember, if it's sitting there collecting dust, it may not do a thing in the world for you. But if you open it up and read it, again, you'll find that the Bible, in that sense, is like a microphone, and you'll hear the voice of God through that microphone as you begin to read God's Word. Yes, God speaks directly to us through His Word. So there's great ministry and good to be found in challenging others to start reading their Bibles every single day. We live in a world where there's so many distractions. Again, things that take people's time and energy. Lots of people waste lots and lots of time doing occupying themselves with things that don't really help. Again, you may have heard the term weapons of mass distraction, things Satan uses to occupy a person's life and to occupy their time, and in many instances, waste their life. And remember this, wasted time is wasted life. If you're wasting time, you're wasting times in your life. So don't be a time waster and make it your goal to challenge others to do things that are fruitful things, that is, seeking God. When you encourage someone to begin to seek God in prayer and to seek Him in His Word, again, you're challenging them to do something very, very important. I think of this also on the program we've shared about a tool that we encourage believers to get, that we call it the Dear Parent Letter. And it's a tool that helps us to be witnesses who will help point people to life and point them away from the tragedy of abortion. Basically, the Dear Parent Letter explains that it's against the law to coerce a woman that wants to keep her baby to get an abortion. Sadly, lots of people don't realize that is against the law. If the woman wants to keep her baby, it's against the law for parents to encourage her. If, for example, if she's a minor, it's against the law for parents to encourage her to abort if she wants to keep her baby. It's against the law for a boyfriend to encourage a girlfriend to abort if she wants to keep her baby. It's against the law for a husband even to do it. Because, again, if she wants to keep her baby, it's against the law for any other person to try to coerce her to do otherwise. So the letter is easily downloadable. Of course, we can get it to you. Our email address is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net, and we'd be glad to send to you the Dear Parent Letter. But also, you can go to thejusticefoundation.org, their website, and download that same letter, the Dear Parent Letter or the Dear Client Letter. And that's a way that you can help save babies and be a witness standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. But remember, there's so many ways God can use us if we simply live to be more available witnesses, and that if we simply live in such a way that we allow God to use us more and more to be salt and light in a dark, dark world. Hope you'll make it your goal to do just that. Again, to get that letter, the Dear Parent Letter, again, simply email us here, jparker@afa.net, or else thejusticefoundation.org. Go to that website. You can get that letter. Thanks again for listening today. As always, we appreciate you listening in. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.